Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and with me today is Daniel Plaisted. Daniel, welcome.
Hi.
As you can see, we are in the Studio B, which is the small room, but you know what they say about people who record in small rooms? They have big shows, or something like that. At least that's what I'm told. Daniel is here today to talk about the portable class libraries, which I think is an extremely cool and very maybe underaware, underappreciated, underfamiliar, whatever the term is, technology. Because basically, what the portable class library allows you to do is build a set of code that will run in on multiple platforms.
Exactly.
So for example, Silverlight app, phone app, Metro app, web app.
Yep.
So it gives you the ability within certain confines of taking, of basically writing code and running it in multiple places.
Yep.
Is that pretty much it in a nutshell?
That is it in a nutshell,
okay,
yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Where did this project start from? How long has this been going on? Where is it at? Where is it going? So many questions. Let's start at the beginning.
Well, you know, as we... First, we have the .NET framework.
Actually, I forgot to tell people what you do, right? I just said who you are.
Yes.
I'm such a rude host. Daniel is a tester on the CLR team.
Yes.
Focusing on the base class libraries.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So within that purview, talk to us about portable class library.
Sure. So initially we had the .NET framework, and then we added Silverlight, and then we started with Windows Phone, and now we have Metro Style. So we've seen that there's more and more platforms where you can write managed code.
And they all have different runtimes. They're all similar, but...
Yes, exactly. And so when we started, you know, around the Silverlight 3 or 4 time frame, and then we knew that Windows Phone was coming up, we started thinking, you know, people really want to write the same code and have a very easy way of sharing their code between those platforms.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to write the same code multiple times. Without portable class libraries, you can share code between projects, but we can talk a little bit about why that's cumbersome to do.
Okay. Yep.
And so the portable class library lets you have a single project that creates a single library that will run on multiple platforms.
So let's talk about the cumbersome world without portable class library. So maybe I want an app that's going to run in Silverlight. I want a version that runs on the phone. I want a version that runs in Windows 8 as a Metro Style app. You know, it's going to be, the UI is going to be different. Some of the functionality will be different, but a lot of the code and a lot of the app, particularly the code that does, let me ask you, what kind of code can I share? UI code, code that controls the UI, data libraries.
Sure.
What would I want to share, and what would a world look like before I start using?
So the ideal is the code that would be the same on each platform you want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think that the UI is generally what you would want to share, because you want to tailor the UI for each device.
Right.
But all of your logic about your app, ideally you want to share as much as possible.
Okay. So business logic, data logic, if you're doing XAML, you're commanding, code that's in view models, is that kind of stuff terrible?
So view
How
models,
far can I go with this?
Yeah, view models is a very interesting thing. So if you need separate UI for an app on each platform, you want to separate your UI out from your logic of how your app works.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for XAML-based platform, the model view model pattern is a great way of doing that, of really having your XAML and your UI be very separate from your code. And so what you can do is you can put your models and your view models in portable libraries, and then you can have platform-specific applications, which mostly just have XAML and maybe some pieces of code that need to be different on each platform and kind of the startup code, but they can reference those portable view models so that hopefully the majority of your logic can be shared among all of those apps.
Mm-hmm. And then you could do the same thing with web apps and
apps
built with HTML and JavaScript?
Well, HTML and JavaScript, you're not going to be running .NET code.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be...
Well,
There are some interop scenarios, but the main scenario for portable library is you want to run .NET code, and so you're probably not going to be accessing it as much from HTML and JavaScript. It's probably going to be a XAML-based
From Metro style. But to the extent you are calling a .NET libraries or whatever, then you could presumably do that.
Yes, you could. And you mentioned the server. And so, you know, you've got client-side apps. They may communicate with some logic on your server. Mm-hmm. And so you may want to share some logic between the client and the server. And so, you know, your objects that store your data and some of your business logic, your validation logic, you might want to share those between, you know, a phone app, a Metro-style app, and your server. And you can do that with portable libraries,
okay,
too.
I was going to save this question for the end, but I'm afraid I'll forget to ask. So before we get to demo, I'll ask. Today, if I'm using Visual Studio 2010, is this built into the product? Are there add-ons I need to get? And then is it built into Visual Studio 2012, or are there add-ons I need to get? And then the follow-up to that will be, how do I get updates as you make them?
Uh-huh. So it is built into Visual Studio 2012.
Okay.
And it's an extension to Visual Studio 2010.
Okay.
And we released the initial extension for VS 2010 a little over a year ago, I believe. And then when the beta for Visual Studio 2012 came out, which was VS 11, we called it then, we had support for portable libraries, and we had more support. We had more APIs that you could use from portable libraries. And so now we've released an update to the VS 2010 tooling that gets you most of that.
Okay. Is that the Visual Studio Gallery easy to find?
Yes. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of links that hopefully we can post or put in the comments for the show.
Okay. So, that said, let's see it.
Okay.
I almost hit the wrong button. There we go.
So let's just start by looking at what it looks like to create a portable library. So here I am in VS 2012, the RC, and I'm going to create a new project. And then I want a portable class library, and I'm going to choose a Visual C Sharp one. And then when I create this project, you know, if you create a Silverlight project or a Windows Phone project, often you'll come up with a dialogue saying, well, which version do you want to target? Mm-hmm. And so here we're saying, well, which platforms and which versions do you want to target in this portable library? Okay. So you can see the platforms that we support here. We've got the .NET framework. We've got Silverlight 4 and up. We've got Windows Phone 7 and 7.5. And we've got MetroStyle. And we have Xbox 360, which is the XNA game framework. So you can choose what you want to target, you create the project, and then you can write code, build it, and then projects for any of those platforms that you selected, you can just add a reference to this portable class library.
Okay.
And of course, you can go back and modify in the project properties the target frameworks, just like that.
Okay.
So, I guess...
So you've specified where this is going to run, and so now the compiler is smart enough to not compile if you put in code that is not common to what
exactly.
You selected.
So, okay. You know, your IntelliSense, your compilation will only let you use APIs that are available on what you've selected.
Okay.
So, depending on what you've selected, you'll get access to more or fewer APIs.
So, is it smart enough when you chose MetroStyle apps? It's smart enough to only give you things that are in the WinRT. So, to select a Windows 8 app, you have to be running on Windows 8, correct?
So, to create Windows 8 apps, you need to be running on Windows 8.
Okay. So. Right, but to create a portable class library that works in a Windows 8 app,
you do not need to be running on Windows 8, no.
Okay, so it's only .NET code, it's nothing that's in the WinRT.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a key point.
Yes.
Got it.
So,
I guess it makes sense, because if you're going to be sharing this across a Silverlight app or a phone app,
yeah, they won't have access to all the WinRT types.
Okay, good.
So,
all right.
It's just about what's common between them.
Okay.
So I've got several demos. So for the first one, I have a visual aid. So if you can switch the video.
Visual aid. All right.
So this is a puzzle, which I've borrowed from a friend of mine at work.
Uh-huh.
And you have to slide these things, and you're trying to get all six of these pieces separated from each other. And it's actually a very difficult puzzle.
Unless you have a hammer.
Well, it seems like it'd be pretty hard to hammer this, too. I think the solution has like 50 or 70 steps or something.
Holy
moly. But this is the kind of thing that it would be fun to write a program to solve it for you.
Sure.
And that's the kind of thing that would be good as a portable class library.
Okay.
So we've got the puzzle here, and here I have my Windows phone.
Uh-huh.
The power button is there. Yes. So I have this app that I've written for the phone, and we'll see it on the computer later. But you can see we have a model. We have a model of the puzzle,
uh-huh.
And then, you know, we can spin it around. Ooh. Now, in the background, it is solving the puzzle. I can switch it to show the progress of, like, the states it's exploring as it's trying to find a solution for the puzzle.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, we can spin it around. And once it's done, it will show us the solution to the puzzle.
And we'll show you what to do on this?
Yes. So that takes several minutes on the phone. So let's go back to the PC. And so since it's a portable library, here's the project in VS. I have the portable library here. And here's the phone app. But I also have a Windows app that will use the portable library. So let's just run that.
This is the Windows 8 Metro style app. You're running on Windows 8.
This is not a Metro style app.
Oh, it's not.
It's XNA based.
Ah, okay.
So let me hit this quickly, so we can see how quickly it's going to solve it in a few seconds here, and then we'll be able to see how we step through the solutions. Okay, now it's done.
Okay.
So now we can, you know, move through the solutions, and it'll show us each step of the way. So there's that demo. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
We can reset the view. We can, you know, make different pieces disappear so we can see the shapes or see where things are. So that's the first demo. And we can see that, you know, we've got basically all of the state of our application here in this portable library. So we've got, you know, lots of data objects for keeping track of each piece, what's the shape of each piece, mm-hmm. And then the state of the puzzle, which is all of the pieces together and what position they're in. So that's puzzle state. And then, what moves are legal? We see, well, can I move this piece in this direction? Will it collide with anything else? So we've got code to figure out what moves are legal. And then finally, we've got the solver, which does the backtracking algorithm to go through all of the possibilities until it finds one that can remove all of the pieces from the puzzle.
Okay, so the portable class library is the logic involved in moving pieces, figuring out can you move pieces, keeping track of what you moved, separated from the actual code to display.
Yes.
Right? Because on the phone you're using XNA.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I'm actually using XNA both for the phone and the desktop.
Okay.
But yes, the code is, maybe this is a good time to talk about the other way of sharing code.
Okay.
Because XNA actually does share code, but not using portable libraries, because it was around before we had the support for portable libraries. Mm-hmm. So what we can see here is we've got this project for Windows, which has... This is basically all of the logic for displaying and responding to input. And then we have, in the phone project, we have the same file. And it's actually a linked file.
Okay.
So this is the same file on disk. And then there's a conditional compilation for Windows Phone versus the desktop.
Okay.
So this is the kind of thing that, you know, if portable libraries was around when XNA was first started, then maybe more of it would be portable. Mm-hmm. But it's still a pretty good experience. You can put most of your logic in the portable library, and then just some of it you're going to share code here.
Okay, cool.
So let's talk about for this project that works well. But let's talk about why that's kind of hard to deal with on a larger scale when you're dealing with more complex projects. So we really see kind of two broad usages for portable libraries. Some people are going to be writing apps, and they'll want to ship, you know, a tablet and a phone app.
Yep.
Or they'll want a tablet or phone app that communicates with the server. There's also lots of people ship open source libraries that are very useful. And historically, those libraries have had versions for each .NET platform that we shipped. And a very popular library is MVVM Lite. And this is, when it comes up, this is a screenshot of the project structure for MVVM Lite.
Right.
So you can see he's got it has a separate project for each platform that it targets, and I think there's like 12 or 15 of them there. And if you opened those up, you'd actually see there's a fair amount of files in each one. And so every time you were going to change the contents of the project, you'd have to go edit each of these projects to keep them in sync. Mm-hmm. So that's fairly cumbersome. So that's one reason that a portable library can make this a lot simpler. Right. So you can have just one project. Another disadvantage of using linked source files is that if you have libraries that use linked source files, and then you have platform-specific libraries that reference them, and I've got an example of a solution structure for that. So this is kind of without portable libraries. This is an example of a cross-platform app, a demo, that works on multiple platforms. And you can see for each platform, there's the core, and then there's the UI piece.
Right.
And the core piece shares all of the code. It's the same across all of those projects. But then if I want to refactor something in that, it won't work across all of those projects. So if I want to rename something in the core, if I do it in the context of, you know, Windows Phone, then it would, the refactoring would apply to the Windows Phone project, which references it, but it wouldn't pick up that, you know, all of these other ones are also going to be updated. So you don't get automated refactoring. And then finally, when you're editing the code in this project, the IntelliSense will give you access to everything that platform has, and you don't necessarily know if that's available for the other platforms, and you'd only hit that when you compile.
Right.
Okay. So, so now I guess I have a bunch of other demos. The other demos I have are basically, they're all Metro style and Windows Phone apps. So let's go to...
This is going to be a pretty common scenario. Somebody writes an app that currently is on the phone. They want it to be a Win8 app. They write their first Win8 app, decide that it should also be on the phone.
Yes, so, we think so. Now, the one caveat, so when currently, if you're writing a phone and a Windows 8 app, you have to use separate versions of Visual Studio because the phone tools currently aren't on Visual Studio 2012.
Mm-hmm.
You need Visual Studio 2012 to develop a Metro-style app.
Right.
So you can still use portable libraries, and portable libraries still help a lot, but you do have to have like two separate projects or keep them separate. However, previously, like when we released Visual Studio 2010, if you opened a project in it, it would upgrade the project, and you couldn't open it in 2008.
Right.
So with Visual Studio 2012, we've changed that, and there is that compatibility. So you can open the same project in both versions,
yes.
And specifically, you can open the same portable project in both versions. So this is a flashcards kind of a demo app. So this is for just, you know, learning facts. And what it does is it'll show you a picture, and then you think of the answer, and then you tap and it'll show the answer, and you see, well, did I get it right? So initially it's going to show, I've got two different flashcard lists, so I can take a quiz on monuments or on the solar system. So if we go here, that is Neptune, so I'm going to tap. That was Uranus, so I got that incorrect. That is the Earth, correct. That is Saturn, Jupiter. Wow, I'm really bad with my planets today. So we could go through these, or we can skip to the end. We can see the results screen.
Okay.
I got a terrible score.
It was a good thing you stopped, because that score was only going to go down.
Well, I beg to differ, but anyway. And then, of course, we can also edit these lists. So, well, let's just add a new one so we can see. can create a new list, and then we can create a new card. We can choose an image. So let's choose some of these images here, and let's MVVM. And we can add another card. And this is Twitter. Okay, so we've created a list with two flashcards in it. So that's the basic functionality of the app. Stop it. So what I wanted to do is get into some of these patterns that you'll use when you are developing portable apps.
Yeah, good.
So I guess going back to one thing I missed a second ago, was I showed this, which is without portable libraries. Right. With portable libraries, you end up with a solution structure that's on the right here. So you have one portable library, and then you've got your platform-specific apps that each reference that portable library. So much, much more clean.
Yep. Excellent.
Now this takes advantage of the view model pattern. So like I said, you want to separate out your app logic from the UI, and the view model pattern is a great way to do that. So here we have our models, which store our flashcards, and our view models, which has basically all of the functionality for the application. And then in the Metro style app, and likewise in the phone app, we have our views. And so for each of our view models, we have a view, and then we also have some platform-specific code, which is like how to save a file, because that's different on each platform, and how to choose an image.
So how, if you put your view models into the portable library, what happens if your view model uses something that's platform-specific?
Exactly, that's so a great question.
I'm writing an app now, and in the employee view model, it gets it calls user information dot get display name async, which is a WinRT thing to get your display name. 95 or 98% of the code is pretty generic, but every now and then I'm using something that is specific to Windows 8. So how do you handle that?
Yeah, exactly. And so this is a very common pattern, and basically what you almost always want to do is you create a portable abstraction. So you create an interface or an abstract class that has the functionality that you want, and then for each platform, you'll create an implementation of that that will use the platform-specific APIs.
Okay.
And so that's what we have here. So if we look at the photo chooser, for example, here we have a photo chooser, which has a display photo chooser method and gives us a task that will eventually return us a photo. So this is our portable abstraction in our portable library. And then over here in the platform-specific project, we have a Metro-style photo chooser.
Okay.
So it implements the interface, and then it calls the WinRT APIs and returns that back. So this is a very, very common pattern for how you'll deal with platform-specific functionality from portable libraries.
So that that abstract class, so an example like this where the action of picking a file is completely different, because in the Metro app you're using the file picker, in the phone app you're using...
They've got a chooser or something.
Okay. So in my scenario where 90-something percent of the code is exactly the same, but here and there you're using something different, would you still do the abstract class? Because you don't want to implement that 90% of the code that's the same in both, right?
No. You separate it out. So you factor out the dependency. So, most of your code will just run as normal, but when it gets to the place where it calls it, it needs basically a reference to whatever it is that provides that abstraction.
Okay. So you would abstract the stuff that is different.
Yeah, username, for example.
Okay.
So that is the a pattern that you use all the time, and in fact, you use it so much that there's several other patterns for how to apply that. So once you've created the abstraction, the question is, well, how does my portable code get the reference to the platform specific implementation? Mm-hmm. In this project, I'm just doing a very simple way of doing that. So, it's in my startup code. So I have my startup code here, and then I create my view model, and I pass in any platform-specific implementations. Okay. So the view model is going to need to have a constructor argument or a property that you set that you pass that in.
I see.
Now, this is actually my home view model that I'm passing it in. So my home view model ends up creating my edit flashcard list view model, which ends up creating my edit flashcard view model. So it's only at the edit flashcard view model that it actually needs this photo chooser.
Uh-huh.
But I have to pass it all the way down through.
Okay.
So not necessarily ideal. This is like the typical example of where IOC and version of control would help you out.
Okay.
You can have an IOC container, and it knows basically what things it can create, and then it can be in charge of creating each view model, for example, and I'd only need to put this dependency on the view model where I actually needed it, and then whenever I wanted to create that view model, I'd request it from the container. It would know how to construct it. So that way you don't have your dependencies like flowing all the way through your
right.
code. So that's one common pattern for how you can get access to platform-specific stuff from your portable code.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is, I've got an example of that in a different project. So let's open that up. This is On Your Way Home. Now, this is a very cool demo sample that David Keene wrote, and he's the dev on the Portable Libraries team, and he wrote an MSDN article on create a continuous client using okay. portable libraries. So I'll have the link to that too. So this is a great demo of how to apply portable libraries and then how to do a continuous client experience, which means that when you make a change on one device, it'll sync to another device through, in this case, using Azure Service Bus.
Oh, cool.
So this is a very interesting demo, but he also uses IOC, but in one place he uses a different method. And that is the service bus adapter. Bus adapter. So this is his abstraction for some functionality for creating a JSON serializer and for doing some hashing. And this is code that the implementation or the APIs were slightly different on each platform, so it wasn't portable, couldn't call it directly from a portable library. So he created this abstract class with these methods, and then he's got a static property on that abstract class called current.
Okay.
And so in the platform-specific code, in the startup path, he'll just say, you know, service bus adapter dot current equals new metro style service bus adapter.
I see.
And then the portable code just goes through this current, you know, service bus adapter dot current dot compute hash.
Cool. Can we see the app work?
Yes,
work?
We can. So this is basically a kind of a shopping list app. So here we've got basically what's on my shopping list, and I can add items to it. I could add more. And then as I'm going through the store, I check off things that I put in my basket, mm-hmm. and then I hit checkout, and they're gone.
Okay.
And of course, I can remove them. And the idea is that this syncs with all your devices. So, you know, if David is on his way home and says, oh, I need curly twists, and his wife is at the store, he just adds that here. Uh-huh. And then it just immediately shows up on his wife's phone, and she can put it in the car.
It shows up before she passes that aisle. Otherwise...
Otherwise, maybe she won't go back. I don't know. Maybe she's just on her way to the store when she adds it, and then it's there when she gets out her phone. Yeah, so that's this app. And, of course, it runs on the phone, too. So those are the those are the primary ways you're going to, the primary patterns you're going to use when portable code. Abstraction. Mm-hmm. Create a portable abstraction and platform-specific implementations. And then to get access to those, there's different ways. You can just pass it directly in from your platform-specific code. You can use IOC. You can use a static property. Mm-hmm. And then the other big one is view model. So if you have an app that does most of the same thing between different platforms, then use the view model pattern and try to use portable view models, and you'll be able to.
So if you're building, let's say you sit down and say, I want to build an app, and I mm-hmm. want it to run on both phone and mm-hmm. Windows 8.
Yes.
And you're starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. It seems pretty straightforward because mm-hmm. you're going to do the UI separately, and you can, as you go along and you're writing code, you can think, here's code that belongs in the mm-hmm. portable library. So you can kind of build them together. It seems pretty straightforward. How hard is it when you've already got the phone app done or the Metro app done?
Yeah.
How hard is it to then refactor code out into portable libraries?
It's not as easy, of course. If you have not used the view model pattern, then you could say there's a very high barrier. So maybe there still might be some logic you can factor out into a portable library fairly easily. But to have portable view models when you haven't even used view models from the start is a pretty big jump.
So, sure.
If you do have an app using the view model pattern and you've kept that separation there, you're just going to have to go through the process of, you know, create a portable project, put your view model code in there, and then you're gonna hit, this code doesn't compile because it uses that. And so then one by one, you're going to have to abstract out that code. So it's definitely not as simple of a process.
Okay.
We are thinking about, you know, some tooling that would at least look at the app and tell you, well, these are APIs that you're using that aren't portable.
That'd be cool.
But we don't have anything like that yet.
Right.
It's just something we're thinking about.
Sure.
But it is something, it's going to be work, but it is something that's doable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've done it for sample apps. Other people have done it. So, you know, if you want those benefits of maintainability going forward, it's going to be an upfront cost, but it might be worth it.
I would think that to start off, you would just build a simple app mm-hmm. and, you know, a simple app that has a simple front end on each and then some shared simple code and kind of get a feel for how it works. Then go into, you know, more simple view models and mm-hmm. kind of, you know, as with anything, if you just take an existing app and say, I'm going to totally refactor mm-hmm. this without fully understanding how the portable class libraries work, that's obviously kind of the long way around.
Yeah, I think that this sample, especially this On Your Way Home sample, mm-hmm. is a good thing to refer to. For
okay.
There's definitely other ways to do it, but this is a good way to do it. Good to get ideas for right. the types of patterns that you can use.
And that code's available on MSDN, right? Just go to...
It's at the MSDN article.
Right.
So there'll be a link to that MSDN yep. article, and then you download the code.
Okay.
Now, the code was for the beta. So there were some changes I had to make
sure.
to get it running on RC, mm-hmm. but not
okay.
too many.
Are there good samples out there? Other good examples? Where else would people go and learn about this?
So there's another sample that I have is that Twitter app that I showed. So let's go there. Well, I didn't show the Twitter app. I just showed the solution structure. So this is again a very simple demo app, but this uses a framework called MVVM Cross, and so this is a view model framework specifically for cross-platform development. And the current version does not use portable libraries, but he's working on the vNext version, and that does use portable libraries. So this is one of the sample apps that comes with that framework. And it's using the portable vNext version. So that's another sample you can look at.
Are these samples publicly available?
Yes. Yeah, I'll have a link to it. It's on GitHub, basically. It's a framework on GitHub.
So that sample's on GitHub?
Yes. It's a framework, and it comes with samples and everything, and it's on GitHub.
Okay. Flashcards.
Flashcards is my sample, and there's I haven't released it.
Okay.
So let's just run this, so we can see yet another app. So this lets you type something in, or choose a random word from a short list, and then you can search Twitter. And it calls the Twitter search API, and you get tweets.
Cool.
So there's two samples out there that are available that do a good job of showing, how you'd style your app.
Okay, so this example, I think you said, is publicly available.
Yes. So this is MVVM Cross is this framework.
Okay.
And it's available on GitHub. Now, as I said, the current version doesn't use portable libraries.
Okay.
The vNext version does. So you would just go to the vNext branch and look at that code. And it's got many different samples. He's still working on vNext, so I think this is the main one that mostly works using the vNext.
Okay.
But it's available there. There were a few other patterns that I wanted to talk about that you shouldn't feel intimidated by. I mean, most people won't use them, but I did want to mention them.
Okay.
Sometimes if you have, a lot of these are for libraries. So if you want to ship a library as a portable library, but you need to access some platform-specific functionality, then one pattern that you can use is you ship both a portable library and a platform-specific version that has that functionality.
Okay.
And then the portable library can dynamically load the platform-specific version.
Right.
So an example of a library that does this is there's PCL contrib on CodePlex, which I'll also link. And that has just some common APIs that aren't in the portable subset but might be useful. For example, I think it has some crypto APIs.
Okay.
And it uses this pattern where in your app you reference both the portable and the platform-specific version, and then your portable code can call the portable version, and then that portable code basically does an assembly.load looking for the platform-specific version, which actually does the work. So that's kind of a way to structure a library so that it's pretty easy for a user to use, and they don't have to worry about injecting the dependencies or anything. So that's one way to do that. And then another thing to do, which I would recommend using very, very sparingly, is you can use Reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use Reflection to call those APIs that may not be portable or may not be in the portable subset, at least. And I'd recommend avoiding that in almost all cases, but the one example that I think is probably well warranted is, for example, MVVM Lite has an is in design mode property.
Right.
And that the code is different for every single platform. And you want it to be easy to reference MVVM Lite. So just shipping in the additional library just for that piece of functionality, a platform-specific piece, doesn't seem to make sense. So, for MVVM Lite is in design mode, I'd say, maybe they should use Reflection to just check if you're in design mode.
Okay. All right. So, awesome. We kind of got deep on this. There's a lot you can do in this, but I think, obviously, the best place to start is just a simple project. People should get a sense of what this does. Then start exploring more, take a look at some of the samples, which we'll link. We'll have on the show write-up, we'll have a whole list of places people can go for additional information.
Sure, yeah, I mean, we might want to go over a few of those now.
We'll just put them on the
okay.
On the write-up for the show. That'll be easier rather than people having to remember this. We'll just, when we write up the show, we'll just have a whole list.
Yep.
That'll be good.
Okay.
All right.
There were a couple things I did want to mention.
Okay. I'm not trying to cut you off.
No. So there's several libraries that there are portable versions of them.
Okay.
So JSON.NET is a popular JSON parsing or creating library.
Okay. Yep.
So there's a portable version of JSON.NET. AutoFAQ is an IOC container. So if you need an IOC in a portable library. You can use that. It has a portable version. NVVM Lite does not have a portable version. We expect that in the future there will be a portable version, and there is a fork that has a portable version, which I'll link. So, you know, if you just want a portable version, you can use that code. And then finally, I mentioned the MVVM Cross framework, which again, you know, the portable version is in progress, but is usable. And the PCL contrib on CodePlex. So those are some libraries you can use. And if you want really, I mean, you said we went deep. If you want to go much, much deeper, there is another Channel 9 video. I think it's Going Deep is the show. And that's with David Keene and Mircea Trofan, both on the Portable Libraries team. And they go very deep into how they're implemented. But they also talk about some interesting things about how are portable libraries related to the refactored surface area that you'll notice if you're using Metro style. So if you create a Metro style app, you'll notice that .NET looks a little bit different there, and the assemblies that you reference are a little bit different. And if you look at the reflection APIs, we see we changed those, we refactored those. And so they go into, like, why is that actually related to portability, and why did we do some of that stuff? So if you want to go deep, that's very, very interesting.
Cool.
So, cool. Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks. I had a great time.
Hope this was good. Again, place to start is just do some simple projects, learn this. I think this is a very important technology. Yeah. If you're going to write apps that run on multiple platforms, you have to start doing this.
Yeah, I certainly love it, and I'm excited about it, yes.
So, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.